السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ علي.
الله عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ علي.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، Our book on these days is كتاب الكبائر by الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله أبو عبد الله محمد بن أحمد رحمه الله. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi has compiled this book, Al-Kabair, based on those verses in the Quran regarding Al-Kabair. And one of them in Surah An-Nisa, Allah said, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ. If you abstain from those that are from Al-Kabair, from the things that we have prohibited you, meaning that amongst the things that Allah has prohibited us, He has made some of them to be worse, to be bigger in their gravity, to be more serious than some others. They are all from ma nahana Allahu anha, from the things that Allah has prohibited us from. Some of them are al-kabair. So Allah said, in tajtanibu kabair ma tunhawna an, if you abstain from those ones that are al-kabair, amongst the things that I have prohibited you, نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم وندخلكم مدخلا كريما. I will atone for those others that are سيئات. وندخلكم مدخلا كريما. And I will grant you a honorable entrance into the place of honor, Al-Jannah. So Al-Imam al-Zahabi sought to make us know what are the kabair. So it is upon this that he has compiled this book, Kitab al-Kabair, Rahimahullah. So he has mentioned the Kabair, and we are still on Al-Kabiratu Sadisa, the sixth amongst the Kabair, which is Uququl Walidain, when a child becomes disobedient to his child, when a child causes harm, whether physically or mentally, either by his expressions or by his actions, he causes harm, he causes worry, he causes anxiety, he causes sadness to his parents. All of these come from the issues of uquq. Likewise, and worse still, when that child disconnects himself or herself from his parents, from his father, from his mother, this is from the kabair. These are from the sins that are grievous, that are criminal in the sight of Allah compared to other sins. That a person is aqun liwalidayhi, very disobedient, dishonoring, causing pain to his parents, especially upon the issues where necessarily we have to obey parents. Those are issues where halal is not mentioned to be haram, or where haram is not affirmed to be halal. When the rights of Allah are not violated, when it is upon things that are merely lawful and allowed in the Sharia, a child is in the Sharia pressed and encouraged, in fact obligated in most of it, to have to obey his parents or her parents and not bring them harm or discomfort. Al-Imam al-Zahabi started this chapter with that verse in Surah al-Isra, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, to the end of the verse. And then he came to those verses in Surah al-Ankabut and in Surah al-Luqman. Then he came to the ahadith, some of which we read in the last class. The first hadith he mentioned here as hadith number 46, he said, Rahimahullah, wa qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That hadith is from the hadith of Nufay ibn al-Harith al-Thaqafi, radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ala unabbi'ukum bi akbari al-kabair. Should I not give you information about Akbarul Kabair? Even amongst the Kabair, they are worse than one another. There are Kabair and there are Sagair. The Sagair are also referred to as Sayyat. But Al Kabair are worse than Sayyat and As Sagair. Now, amongst those sins that are themselves from Al-Kabair, there are levels. Some of them are worse. In fact, in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to some of the Kabair as Mubiqat, sins that are destructive, Mubiqat, because they are stronger and they are worse than the rest of the sins. So when he said here, Allah, unabbi'ukum bi akbaril kabair, should I not tell you about akbarul kabair, the most serious amongst those ones that are kabair? We recall that in this hadith, the companions said, Bala ya Rasulallah. Tell us, O Messenger of Allah. We want to know the worst ones amongst the kabair. And then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ishraku billah, joining partners with Allah, wa uququl walidain. He followed it up with uququl walidain. When a child is undutiful, when a child is disobedient, when a child causes harm, causes discomfort, causes inconvenience to his parents or her parents, all of these fall under uququl walidain. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it after al-ishraku billah, joining partners with Allah. This hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari and in the Sahih of al-Imam Muslim. The next hadith was hadith 47. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhumah, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ridallahi fi ridal walid, wa sakhatullahi fi sakhatil walid. Ridallahi fi ridal walid, wa sakhatillahi fi sakhatil walid. Ridallahi fi ridal walid. Allah's pleasure is connected with the parents being pleased with the child. Allah's pleasure is connected with the parents being pleased with the child, meaning that when the parents are pleased with the child, Allah is pleased with him. When the parents are pleased with the child, Allah is pleased with her. Don't forget, this does not include the matters of sins. There are some parents who encourage their children and even command them to disobey Allah. Like those parents who command their sons to shave their beards. In these kinds of cases, the children should not obey those parents. The anger and the displeasure of the parents in these kinds of conditions, they are things that do not bring the anger of Allah upon the child. When the child is commanded by the parent upon haram, and then the child refuses, and then that brings pain and worry to the child, the child is not blamable. That is not what we are talking about. Some parents on the days of nikah for their daughter, they command their daughter to dress improperly. The girl has been wearing jilbab. She may even be a person in niqab. The parents will now say, oh, today is the day of happiness. Don't wear this, your jilbab and niqab. That kind of a young girl should not obey those parents. We have discussed these two. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to us that la ta'ata lil makhluq fi ma'siyati al khaliq. He also said alayhi salatu wa salam, innama ta'atu fil ma'ruf. Obedience to the ruler, obedience to the parents, obedience to our superiors, innama fil ma'ruf. It is only regarding those things that are lawful. So as long as the parents or our rulers or our superiors at work, as long as they do not command us against an instruction from Allah, such as a parent disallowing her child, her daughter, from wearing jilbab on the day of her walima to nikah, this is not lawful for such a parent to do. And then they will start saying, I'm angry with you. Allah is angry with you. Allah is not angry with that sister if she refuses to dress in the dressings of jahiliyyah that the parents want you to dress on the day of nikah. On the day of nikah, some parents want the girl to be dressed up, to wear designed clothes, and show the design clothes. This is not lawful, because Allah said, "Wala yubadina zinatahunna," and the women should not expose their ornaments. So Allah has commanded against a woman exposing her ornaments, and many of the scholars even say that including the powder and the eyelids, the kohl that women put on the face. If you put powder on the face, it becomes compulsory to veil that face. So Allah said, "Wala yubdina zinatahunna." No woman should show her zina, her beauty, the things with which she has beautified herself. So if a parent now said, oh, today is the day of your walima to nikah, you must design yourself. How will we enjoy this day without you designing yourself? It is like saying, how would you enjoy the day without the young, innocent girl disobeying Allah? So the girl should not follow you, O parents, in this kind of a situation. Why? You are commanding this girl against the instruction of your own creator, who has commanded this girl to be obedient to you. Someone commanded the girl to obey you. You are now commanding the girl to disobey that person who has given the command that the girl should obey you. So it is not lawful. So if the parent becomes angry in this case and begin to say, oh, I'm your father or I'm your mother, I'm angry with you and Allah is also angry with you, we say no, not in this kind of a circumstance. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, رِضَ اللَّهِ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدِ. The pleasure of Allah is connected with the parents being pleasure, being happy with the child. Your parents will be happy when you observe Khams Salawat. Your parents will be happy when you dress properly in hijab and niqab. Your parents will be happy when you are a chaste, honorable young girl, not the street girl going all around, misbehaving on the street. The parents will not be happy with that. And so Allah is also displeased with you. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَسَخَطُ اللَّهِ فِي سَخَطِ الْوَالِدِ. The anger of Allah is connected to the anger of the parents. This hadith was collected by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, and it was also reported by Al-Imam Tirmidhi in his Sunan. The scholars of hadith like Al-Imam al-Albani, they grade the hadith to be authentic. In hadith number 48, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, wa anhu alayhi salatu wa sallam. It is also reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that al-walidu awsatu abwaab al-jannah. Al-walidu awsatu abwaab al-jannah. The father, he is awsatu abwaab al-jannah, yani khayru abwaabi الجنة وأعلاها خير أبواب الجنة وأعلاها the best of the entrances to الجنة وأعلاها and the topmost, the most honorable place. Because when you say regarding a person that هو من وسط قومه, if you say one man is هو من وسط قومه, that man has come from wasat of his people. What you are saying is ayyaru, is from the best of them. So awsatu here means the best of something. Awsat refers to the best of it. So alwalidu awsatu abwaab aljannah. The father, when you fulfill his hukuk, when you preserve the rights of the father and you don't cause him harm, you don't bring him discomfort, you don't bring him worry, you bring him joy, you bring him happiness, you obey him, and the rest of that. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a major means of gaining the best place inside Al-Jannah. One of the major means to gain the best place in Al-Jannah is to be a nice child to your father. One of the major ways to get the best of Al-Jannah is to be of the best of children to your father and of course to your mother. So Abu Darda, who reported this hadith, he said, فَإِن شِئْتَ فَحْفَظْ. So if you like, preserve it, race after it, protect it. وَإِن شِئْتَ فَضَيِّعِ. And if you like, waste it away. If you like, protect it. If you like, waste it away. الْوَالِدُ أَوْسَطُ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ. Your father and preserving his rights is from the things that will earn you awsati abwaab al-jannah, the best from the doors of al-jannah. You want the best of al-jannah, preserve the rights of your father, respect him, obey him, make him happy, make him delighted, connect his ties, respect his friends, and all of these. Allah will make all of that a means of your earning al-jannah. The next hadith, we'd explain this hadith also in the last class. In hadith number 49, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, rahimahullah, wa anhu, yani, وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. So he said, وعنه عليه الصلاة والسلام. It also occurs from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم that الجنة تحت أقدام الأمهات. الجنة تحت أقدام الأمهات. الجنة occurs تحت أقدام الأمهات. Under the feet, under the legs of your mothers. One of the scholars say, كأنه, as if to say, لها وهي قاعدة عليه. As if the Jannah, the mother is sitting, and then she has her leg placed on the Jannah. As if she's sitting down. And then she's sitting on the Jannah. فَلَا يَصِلُ إِلَيْكِ إِلَّا مِنْ جِهَتِهَا. So the only way you can get Al-Jannah is through her. Why? As if she's sitting down and placing her leg on it. So if you please her, if you obey her, if you are nice to her, that is from the way to get Al-Jannah. So this hadith with this expression, Al-Jannatu tahta aqdami al-ummahat, the paradise is under the feet of the mothers, like this. The scholars say it is munkarun bihadha lafzi. It is a hadith that is not accepted. It is a weak hadith. Bihadha lafzi, with this expression, like this. But the meaning is correct. And that one occurs in the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Jahima. Let us note this companion. What's his name? Muawiyah ibn Jahima ibn Abbas. Muawiyah ibn Jahima ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhum as-salami. As-salami, they are from Banu Salim. Muawiyah was a companion. Jahima, his father, was a companion. Abbas, his grandfather, was a companion. Kana lahu wali abihi wa jaddihi suhbatun. So he, with his father and his grandfather, they all have what? Suhba. What does that mean? They are from the Sahaba of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. They have the honor of being in the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is that? Muawiyah ibn man, ibn Jahima ibn man, ibn Abbas. Both Muawiyah and his father Jahima, and who? Al-Abbas, the grandfather of Muawiyah. They were all from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this Muawiyah, this is not Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami. Neither is he Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. There were over 20 companions who bore that name, Muawiyah. This is just one of them. Muawiyah ibn Jahima ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhum. Muawiyah was a companion. His father, Jahima, was a companion. His own father, Abbas, was a companion. So the grandchild was a companion, the father was a companion, the grandfather was a companion. Radiyallahu anhum. Muawiyah said, Anna Jahima taja'a ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father Jahima came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faqala ya Rasulallah. And then his father asked, O Messenger of Allah, أردت أن أغزو وقد جئت أستشيرك. أردت أن أغزو. I want to participate in al-ghazw and jihad fi sabilillah. I want to join the army you are sending, advancing to go and make jihad fi sabilillah. In other riwayat, he said, radiyallahu anhu, أطلب بذلك وجه الله. That jihad that I want to go and fight. أطلب به وجه الله. I am using it to seek the face of Allah. He said, رضي الله عنه, أردت أن أغزو وقد جئت أستشيرك. I want to go and fight jihad and I want to ask your advice. And that jihad that I'm going to fight, أطلب بذلك وجه الله. I'm using it to seek the face of Allah so that Allah will be pleased with me. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, هل لك من أم؟ Do you have your mother alive? قال نعم. He said, yes, my mother is alive. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم then said, فالزمها فالزمها. Go and stick to your mother. فإن الجنة تحت رجليها. Because Al-Jannah is under her two legs. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ رِجْلَيْهَا. This makes us understand that riwayah that Al-Jannah تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِ الْأُمَّهَاتِ, like this. Al-Jannah is under the feet of the mothers. No, don't say this one again. What you should say is that فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ رِجْلَيْهَا. Al-Jannah is under her two legs. So the meaning is correct, but that expression like that is not readily memorized and preserved from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So Muawiyah ibn Jahima as-Salami, he reported that hadith that his father Jahima came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yuridu al-jihad fi sabilillah. He wants to go and fight jihad. He said, aradtu an aghzuwa wa qad ji'tu astashiruka. Atlubu bidhalika wajha Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to go and stick to his mother. Go and stay with your mother. Whatever you want, do it for her. Whatever she wants, make sure you go for her errands, be nice to her, obey her, protect her, honor her, respect her, you know, go for her errands, make her happy, don't make her sad, and all of this. If you do this, you get huge rewards. So instead of saying, hey, go for the jihad, say, go and stay with your mother. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ رِجْلَيْهَا. Because Al-Jannah is under the two of her feet. So, Ikhwa, if your mother has the key, if serving your mother, serving your father, because in the last hadith of Abu Darda, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's hadith number 48 in this book, Kitab al-Kabair, by Imam al-Zahabi with the tahqiq of Sheikh Mashur Hassan al-Salman. In hadith number 48, we read that Al-Walidu Awsatu Abwab al-Jannah. Your father and your being kind and dutiful to him is one of the means of obtaining the best places in Al-Jannah. We have read something similar to that now regarding our mother. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ رِجْلَيْهَا. Al-Jannah occurs under her two feet. In this kind of a condition, now we understand the importance of our parents. We understand how significant they are. Wallahi ikhwa, if a person is not careful in his dealings or her dealings with her parents, you may just end up inside Jahannam. May Allah forgive all of us. Oh brother, be careful with your parents. Be careful in your dealings with your father. Be careful in your dealings with your mother. Your dealings with them must be honorable. Don't speak to your father the way you speak to yourselves online. It will be unfortunate for a boy to talk to his father now. And then he says to his father, they play, The play is an expression that's common amongst young people now. The father can say something and this unruly and badly behaving child, he will say to his father, they play. That's unfortunate for you if you're a person saying that to your father. It's unfortunate because it is kabira min al kabair. You're saying that to your father deserves that you make tawbah. You're using that kind of an expression when you talk to your father. It deserves that you make tawbah. Or when you talk to your mother, it deserves that you make tawbah. Sometimes when parents speak, children will say, hey, Ojito, this is a violation of that injunction. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. So this person violates that instruction when he says that to his parents. Sometimes young people behave and their parents become very sad and unhappy. Ikhwa, go and make tawbah before the time runs away. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding someone who was going for jihad, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ahal laka min ummin, do you have your mother at all? Qala na'am, the man said yes. He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, falzamha, go and stick to your mother. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ رِجْلَيْهَا, because your obtaining al-jannah will be possible when you fulfill your rights to your mother. She will be happy with you, she will be pleased with you, she will be full of joy and delight regarding you. This hadith, this report of Muawiyah ibn Jahima As-Salami radiyallahu anhu, it also occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. It occurs in the Sunan As-Sunan Al-Kubra by Al-Imam Al-Nasai. It also occurs in Sunan Ibn Majah. Al-Imam Al-Mundhiri in At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib, he ruled it Hassan. Likewise, Sakata alayhi al-Hafidhu fi al-Fathi. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar was silent about its ruling in Fathu al-Bari. And Al-Imam al-Albani, rahimahullah, in Irwa al-Ghalil, he graded it Hassan, rahimahullah. And our Shaykh, Al-Allamatu Mashhur Hassan al-Salman, he has affirmed in this, his checking of Al-Kabair, that hadith of Muawiyah ibn Jahima, is a hadith that is authentic. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, falzamha, go and stick to your mother. Go and stay with your mother. This statement includes that we should keep company of our mothers. Ikhwa, stay with your mother. Talk to her, listen to her. You are going to hang out with your friends and then you leave your mother at home. You are hanging out, young people. You are hang out like a hanger, suspended outside the house with your friends. And your mother is inside the house waiting to have any slight opportunity to have a chat with you. Do you not think that that is quite unfair? May Allah protect us. In hadith number 50, and that hadith again is from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, where al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullah, wa qala alayhi salatu wassalam, and someone, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said alayhi salatu wassalam, وجاءه رجل يستأذنه في الجهاد معه. جاءه رجل. A man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يستأذنه في الجهاد, asking for the Prophet's permission to partake in jihad together with him. فقال The Prophet then said, أحيٌ والدك? Is your father alive? قال نعم. The man said, Yes, my father is alive. قال The Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The man, the Prophet asked him, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ahayyum walidaka? Are your two parents alive? The man said, Yes, my father and my mother are alive. And then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Fafihima fajahid. Fafihima fajahid. Go and convert your jihad to be regarding your parents. Your jihad, go and struggle, go and remain with them, go and be patient, go and sit down, go and keep them company, go and make them happy, go and deliberately remove anything that makes them sad, go and take care of your two parents, go and be a nice child to your two parents. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he said, يَحْتَمِلُ أَنْ يَكُونَ جَاهِمًا, that it is possible that the person that was mentioned in this hadith, who came to the Prophet to seek his counsel about jihad, was the father of Muawiyah, جَاهِمًا to Ibn Abbas. Don't forget that Muawiyah said, "Anna Jahima taja'a ila Nabi." His own father, Jahima. So perhaps this is the Jahima that has come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that report that we had read earlier as hadith number 49 in our earlier reading just now. In hadith number 51, Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, وَقَال, who is the qail here? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This one occurs from the hadith of Tariq ibn Abdullah, Tariqun ibn Abdullah al-Muharibi. He was a companion, radiallahu anhu. Tariqun ibn Abdullah Al-Muharibi, and the hadith, this hadith occurs in Sunan al-Nasa'i by Al-Imam al-Nasa'i and in other books of hadith like Sunan ibn Majah. Tariqun ibn Abdullah al-Muharibi said, Qadimna al-Madinata, we arrived in al-Madina, fa'idha Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam قائم على المنبر يخطب الناس. And then we found Rasulullah عليه الصلاة والسلام. Find the messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام. قائم على المنبر. We found him standing on the منبر. يخطب الناس. He was addressing the people. وهو يقول. And he was saying that يد المعطي العليا. Yadul Mu'ti al-Ulya, the one who gives people gifts, the one who provides benefits to people, the one who hands out charity, that hand, that is the hand that is at the top. Just as we know that if you are giving someone something, the one receiving places his hands under, and you that you are fortunate to be the one giving, your hand is above. This your hand that is above. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that yadul mu'til ulya, the hand of the one giving, that is the one that is up. But the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's using that to encourage us to give what? Charity. If you give, your hand is up. When you want to give somebody something, where is your hand? Up. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yadul mu'ti, the hand of the giving person, that is what al-ulya, that is one that is above. He then said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وابدأ بمن تعول. Start when you give charity with the person that is you are their dependent. The person that is dependent on you. ابدأ بمن تعول. Start with those persons that are dependent on you. Then that is when our reading in 51 will be clearer. Then he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after he said, Wabda biman ta'ul, start with those people that you are the one that they depend on. Then he said, Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, Ummak, meaning start with your mother, Wa Abak, and then your father, Wa Akhok, and then your brother, wa adnak adnak, yani wal aqrab ilayk adnak, and the one that is closer, and then the one that is closer, and then the one that is closer. But where do you start from? Wa abda abiman ta'ul, start with those who are dependent on you, ummak, like your mother, wa abak, and your father, wa ukhtak, and your sister, wa akhok, and your brother, wa adnaka adnak, and those who are nearer, and then those who are nearer, and then those who are nearer. It will start with those who are nearer in terms of being relatives, then those who are nearer for one sabab, for one reason or the other. Maybe they are your driver, maybe they are your gardeners, maybe they are your security, all of these. Adnak wa adnak, and so on. When you give charity, start with those who depend on you. Help them. Help those who depend on you. So spend on yourself. Then the next person is those who depend on you. Your parents, your father, your mother, your sister, wa akhok, your brother. Wa adnaka adnak, those who are nearer to you, and those who are nearer to you, and those who are nearer to you, and so on and so forth. The hadith, this hadith of Tariq ibn Abdullah al-Muharibi, it occurs in As-Sunan Nasai As-Sura. It also occurs in As-Sunan by Imam ibn Majah. It occurs in other books of hadith, like in the Mu'jam al-Kabir of Al-Imam al-Tabrani, rahimahullah. In all of these, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizes ummak wa abak, your mother, and who? Your father. You must be diligent. You must be dutiful. You must be respectful. You must be honorable. You must be giving, you must be sacrificing, you must be responsible when it comes to your dealings with your father and your dealings with your mother. Otherwise, you will come from a bad group of people. That group is what we talk about again in Hadith number 52. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullah, وروي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال, it was also reported, روي عنه, he mentioned it as if the isnad of this hadith is not sahih, but the isnad of the hadith بإذن الله is a hadith that is hasan. A number of the scholars of hadith grade the hadith hasan. What did the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, لا يدخل الجنة عاق. لا يدخل الجنة عاق. ولا منان. ولا مدمن خمر. ولا مؤمن بسحر. لا يدخل الجنة عاق. A boy or a girl who disobeys her father and mother, or his father and mother, who disrespects them, who speaks to them as he likes, It has become the order of the day now. They call themselves Gen Z. This group of people, from the things that is common with them, is that they can disrespect anybody. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, La yadkhulil jannata aq. Aqun is a boy who is not dutiful to his parents, or a girl who is disrespectful to her parents. Aqun, the one who is upon uququl walidain, undutiful to the parents, disrespectful, disobedient, dishonoring, full of insults and abuse. And like I always say, some of the women today use their parents like their slaves. We've said this a lot. You see young girls commanding their parents. You see young boys commanding their parents, especially when they have something on their hand they call money. They think that once they have money, the father has stopped being the father. They are now the father. So they talk to their fathers like their children. They talk to their mothers like their children. This is Aqun. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, La yadkhulil jannata Aqun. A child who is disrespectful and undutiful to the parents will not enter al-Jannah. The scholar said it means two things. La yadkhulil jannah. He will never enter al-Jannah, lie to lie at all, forever. This is in the condition of a person who thinks that it is lawful for him to disrespect his parents. May Allah protect us. When will it be lawful for a child not to obey the parents? Allah told us, only when the parents command you against something, and their command, if you follow it, you will be upon clear cut haram. Like a parent, we give an example. Some parents push their daughters to dress in the days of Jahiliyyah, on the days of marriage. They remove hijab, they remove niqab, they dress those girls, put powder, put eyelashes and lipstick. They push their innocent daughter to the stage. Unfortunately, these same parents, 6 months' time, they are still coming back to cry that the marriage has crashed. They forgot that they start cracking the marriage right from the day of the wedding. They abuse their daughters, push them out, force them out to dress immodestly on the day of marriage. They will come back to cry in 3-4 months' time. I have many examples. It's 3-4 months. They come back to weep that the same girls can't stay in marriage. The failure started from the day of the marriage. May Allah protect us. So some parents deliberately command their children to disobey Allah. Children, don't obey parents in these kinds of circumstances. So this is not uquq in this kind of a case. But when your parents command you regarding something that is lawful, you must obey them. If you don't, it falls in the matters of uquq. If you speak to parents disrespectfully, you are aqun. If you don't honor your parents, you are aqun. If you abandon your parents saying that you jakba, you are looking for green fields, green grass, greener pastures. So you left your father and mother, you went away. You left them without care. You left them without attention. You left them without maintenance. And in fact, yourself, in terms of being in their company, talking to them and being with them, you abandon your parents. You fall under this. If you now think that it is halal, yes, it is lawful for me to do it, that is from the aspects of kufr. What it means is that that person will never enter al-Jannah. However, if it is about, you know that it is wrong for you to be upon hukuk. You are struggling, or you are not even struggling, but you are not seeing it as something that is lawful. Then in this kind of a place, when it says la yadkhulil jannata aqun, the one who is disobedient and undutiful to the parents will not enter al-jannah, what it means is that he will not enter al-jannah dukhul al-awwaliyah, which those who will enter it from the very beginning, he will have cases to answer. He may end up in Jahannam first. He may end up being punished by other means first. But later, inshallah. Because Allah will still forgive every person who is upon Iman. They will still get forgiveness for whatever sin they had committed. But they will suffer punishments first. May Allah protect us from every bit of his punishment. So those who are disobedient to their parents, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yadkhulil jannata aqun. The one who is disobedient and undutiful will not enter al-jannah. We have explained two ways, either completely, or he will not enter from the beginning. Wala mannanun, the same thing. Somebody who helps people, but he soon come back to start insulting them that he has helped them. You helped the person, but you soon come back to start insulting them over the help you rendered. You gave them charity. You are still coming back to insult them over your charity. You provided them support and food. You are still coming back to insult them that, did I not provide you food yesterday? You that I provided food, now I am telling you to do this and you are refusing. This is man. Allah said, La tubtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha. Do not destroy your sadaqat. When a person speaks like this, he destroys his sadaqah. So mannan are those who, they will do good to you, they will support you, they will help you, they will provide you money, they grant you sadaqah, but they are still coming to insult you, right? Wala mudminu khamrin. Likewise, mudminu khamrin is a person who is so engrossed with drinking alcohol. Just before we started this class, one of the women messaged me and said, a woman was separating from her husband. So I said, subhanAllah, why? The reason was that the husband was a drunkard, or is a drunkard. He goes out, he drinks. When he comes back, you see him staggering, smelling of alcohol. This is idmanul khamri. When it becomes something that is regular, the woman said, she has waited for 12 years and she cannot wait any longer. It was her friend or sister who was talking to me. 12 years. The man was a drunkard. He falls by the wayside while returning home in the night. He has been like that for 12 years. People should avoid alcohol, whether big or small, in any form that it may be. The same ruling applies to hard drugs, cocaine, Indian hemp, and all other forms of drug addiction and drugs that we now know people get involved in. We should avoid it. Stay away. It is from the aspects of idmanul khamr, because all these drugs, they take away the intelligence of the individual. He was intelligent, but the drugs stopped making him have any sense. Anything like this that takes away the mind of a normal human being, it comes under that general expression amongst the Arabs, al-khamru, alcohol, as we would say. So everything that intoxicates is alcohol. and it has the ruling of it. So mudminu khamrin is the one who is regularly upon alcohol. La yadkhul al-jannah. Such a person will not enter al-jannah, whether completely because he thinks it is lawful for him to drink alcohol, or that if he dies upon it without repentance, such persons will not gain admission into al-jannah. They will first of all be punished by Allah. Except Allah forgives them, may Allah protect us. وَلَا مُؤْمِنٌ بِسِحْرٍ لَا يَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةَ مُؤْمِنٌ بِسِحْرٍ. There are some people who place their trust and faith in sihr, ogun, in witchcraft, black magic, and all of these. The entirety of their mind is on it. The entirety of their belief is on it. They go forth and backwards, it is it. If they cough, it is it. If they stand up, it is it. It is sorcery. It is magic, black magic, witchcraft. Oh, every time is upon it. So when people become like this, it is from the aspects of Al-Kabair. But the major point we want from this hadith is that point where the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yadkhulu al-jannata 'aqun. A person who is disobedient to the parents will not enter al-jannah. A person who causes harm to the parents will not enter al-jannah. A person who insults his parents will not enter al-jannah. A child who cares less, who brings disgust and unhappiness to his parents, will not enter al-jannah. It shows that uqukul walidain is from the kabair. Disobedience to parents and undutifulness to parents is from al-kabair. May Allah protect each and every one of us. May Allah forgive our sins and our shortcomings. As we have repeatedly said since we started these discourses, we all should go back. I always say, go back to the drawing board, rectify yourself, adjust, be a better person. Don't think that you will remain as you have been forever and ever. Al-Imam al-Zahabi has mentioned here 18 ahadith, and we have a few more ahadith, bismillah. The hadith will end on hadith 63, and we are on hadith 53. Bi'idhnillah, the classes will be faster in our next reading regarding the subject of disobedience to parents. May Allah protect us. May Allah forgive us. Don't make us from those who are disobedient to their parents, who bring sadness and disgust to their parents, who speak evil to their parents. Ya dhal jalal wal ikram. Abu Abdul Rahman, can we have one or two questions?
Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen, ameen. Wa antum fadlakum khair. Naam, Abu Abdul Rahman.
Naam. This question is Barakallahu Fikum Sheikh. Are the rulings for grandparents similar to the rulings for parents?
Yes, they are. Because the grandparents are our parents as well. They generally fall under the category. That's why we can bear the names of our grandparents too. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to Nabi Ibrahim as Abi, my father. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to Ibrahim alayhi salam as Abi. So generally speaking, yes, don't disrespect your grandfather. Don't disrespect your grandmother. Don't insult them. Don't abuse them. Be reasonable, be happy, treat them, make them be happy, and all of these. Support them, provide for them, ensure that you serve them, keep their company, and all of these, they are from our parents too. Our grandparents are from our parents. As we mentioned from that hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. There's a question here about Rahman. If a woman still subconsciously refers to her husband, who was already late as my husband when talking about him, and people also continue to refer to him as her husband, even after she has remarried, is there any sin in this? There is no sin in it, inshallah, if it is just about the reference. If it does not mean more than that, if it does not mean to show your first husband, instead of saying your first husband, they simply say your husband. There is no blame about it, inshallah. Even if it was a divorced husband, you want to talk about it, say your husband. There is no blame. Allah did that too in places in the Quran when he spoke about women who are divorced. Even when they are divorced, Allah was still referring to the husband, to the man as Zawj. Zawj, Zawj. So there's no blame in it, inshallah. If the meaning is not more than just the reference, because if a man dies and the woman remarries, even if she does not remarry, marriage is broken by death. Once he dies, the marriage becomes broken, that's all. She's free to marry another man. That is what I mean, marriage being broken. So, and she cannot marry another person's wife. So it means being tied to the first man as a wife becomes broken. That is why it is halal for her to marry a second husband. So if the reference, oh, my husband, does not mean that even at death, she still consider him as her husband, if it is not more than just issue of reference, there is no blame on it. Allah forgive all of us. Grant his mercy to those of our brothers who have passed away. I remember one of our sisters, her husband has passed away, and she has two children, a boy and a girl. I have known this woman. She's a very, very responsible person. May Allah forgive her husband, make things easy for her, help her in the nurturing of her children, and forgive the husband who has passed away. I beg Allah out of his mercy to grant this woman a righteous husband that will be suitable for her. Ameen. Ameen. Wa iyyakum wa barakatuh.
Another question is the ruling for mother-in-laws same as our parents?
Our mother-in-laws are people of respect to us and father-in-laws. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us in the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, "Inna min afdali ma yukramu alayhi al-insan," or something like this, from the best of what an individual will be honored with is the niceness, the gift he receives from a person who has married his daughter. You're a woman, somebody married your daughter. You're a man, somebody married your daughter. From the best gifts, from the best of the good feelings you can have, is that your son-in-law sends you a gift, sends you a thing of love, showing that they love you, they respect you, It shows you a lot of esteem. It is from the best treatments that you can have. But this does not reach the level of our own father and mother who gave birth to us. It is not in any way near it at all. It's not in any way near it at all. May Allah forgive each and every one of us. I mean, Abu Rahman, how we call it a day, the time is already far spent.
No, I'm not sorry.
I mean, Abu Rahman.
No, Ya Sheikh Ali.
This question is disturbing. What would you advise a parent whose daughter got pregnant for a non-Muslim after she has been warned not to marry a Christian? The daughter hid the pregnancy until about 4 months. What's your advice for the parents? This is an issue that is currently a challenge in our household. The response to this question is wide. I'll try to, inshallah, mention a few things from each of the aspects of the question. The first is that maybe the parents were lax from the very beginning about the upbringing of their child. Don't bring up your child going to Christian schools. If they don't become Christians, they love Christians. If they don't love Christians, they have soft spots towards Christians. Do not send your children, boys or girls, to Christian schools. If they don't love them, they have soft spots for them and soft spots for Christianity. 3 days ago, I saw something similar to that was so mind-boggling. A sister in hijab making videos with a Christian boyfriend. It's so annoying and unfortunate. A sister, Jilbab, a hafiza of Quran with good, at least average knowledge of Arabic, memorized Quran and Arabic, going about making videos with a kafir. Videos were even made on the bed with that kafir. That kafir now died, and then she began to feel sorrow. Was why she was now posting those videos on her status. Don't send your children to Christian schools primary, Christian schools secondary. You think that if they don't go to those big schools, you say they are Christian schools, their life cannot be well and their hereafter cannot be well. Which Christian school did Dangote attend? Wealth in this dunya is not about school. It's not about the school you attended. Position in this dunya is not about the school you attended. Wallahi, it's about what Allah has written for you. So be conscious about it. In the past 50 years ago, 60 years ago, there was excuse. But now, there is no school, no results you are looking for in any Christian school. You will not find good or even better results in the Muslim schools. Do not send your children to Christian schools. And I don't have any apology about this. I wish I am saying this on public radio. Christians too say it. Don't send your children to Muslim schools. Christians say it. Muslims, send your children to your own schools. But some of us Muslims, because of little shame, you send your children to a Christian school. So I think the parents themselves, they need a lot of caution regarding this matter. Because such a girl who became pregnant for a Christian might have started that relationship with that Christian from a very young age without the knowledge of the parents. So do not send your children to Christian schools, nursery, primary, secondary, or university. Do not send your children to Christian schools. The second part of it is about the girl herself. If she's listening to me, I advise you, I adjure you strongly. You have committed zina. This is your first crime. Zina. And Allah warned you, wala taqrabu zina. Don't approach zina. You did not only approach it, you committed it. I beg Allah to forgive you. Because even if it were shirk, we beg Allah to forgive you and encourage you to make tawbah. So I encourage you to make tawbah for your zina. Repent unto Allah to have committed zina. Allah hates zina. He warned you not to come near it. So you have to repent. The first thing is for you to stop. Don't continue with the pregnancy to go to that man who was not respectful of you or your parents, for whom you became pregnant. Don't go back to him for zina again. Stop zina immediately. Stop that zina immediately, because it will be destroying your life in this world and the hereafter. Stop the zina immediately. And you need to understand that the one you have done itself is unfortunate. You need to acknowledge that and be decided that you will never go back to it again. Don't ever go back again. After that, have a bath, be yourself, and continue upon good deeds. Do not abandon or abort the pregnancy. If you abort the pregnancy at 4 months, you have added murder to adultery or fornication. If you abort the pregnancy, you have added killing a soul, which is another grievous sin, worse than zina. So you see, you started with other sins like touching yourselves, looking yourselves. You got into zina, from zina now to killing a soul. So I adjure the parents too. Do not abort that pregnancy. Keep the pregnancy, and the child is your own, O parents of this girl. That is one of the fruits of your, Allahu A'lam, your negligence in terms of your child upbringing. But if you were not a negligent parent, then that is one of the results that your negligent child has brought to you. So the parents of this girl should be responsible for everything regarding their daughter and her pregnancy, because that child is their own. It's a child born out of wedlock in Islam, upon the view of the majority. It basically belongs to the family of the girl who bore that child. The unfortunate thing is that that man you are thinking was the one who was responsible alone. There may be other men that woman was going to make zina with. So the child necessarily belongs to you, the parents of the girl. You are the one that you are not in doubt. As for the lineage pattern and the paternally, only Allah knows how many men were responsible with your daughter who was irresponsible, we should say it, or with you who were negligent. May Allah forgive all of us and accept our pardon. So please don't abort the pregnancy. Support your daughter to give birth to that child. don't make her commit murder after she has committed zina. While she's in all of these, ensure to get her in the circle of learned Muslims upon the Sunnah. Today you will find a lot of females who are learned in some extent, who can help your child to become a better Muslim girl. So she will grow in her Islam when she delivers. And then after 4 months, after the period of delivery and everything has gone, after the periods, I just mentioned 4 months, after the delivery and when the mother who delivers a baby is able to marry again, then you can marry her to a Muslim. The unfortunate thing, I hope many Muslim parents would have learned here, many of you Muslim parents, when your daughters are in SS2, SS3, if a young righteous man comes to propose marriage to the girl, say, no, my girl is still going to school. Marry your daughters out. Marry your daughters out from minimum age 18. Some girls by 17, 18, by 18, they are already ripe for marriage. Marry your daughters out. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَمْ يُرَى لِلْمُتَحَابَيْنِ مِثْلُ الزَّوَاجِ. When a man loves a woman and a woman loves a man upon righteousness, because the love among some people is upon sinfulness. One is upon love, upon righteousness and honor and genuine integrity. Marry them to themselves. Marry the woman to a husband. Marry her. Marry your daughters out early. Don't give conditions that will make these girls begin to commit zina. Marry your daughters out early. It will protect them from zina. It will protect them from themselves. Because the older girls become, the more it becomes difficult to control their decisions. Beg Allah to forgive all of us. Forgive the sister in this condition. Forgive her parents, grant them the strength of mind to bear the pain of this clear insult that their girl, their daughter has brought to them. Grant this girl too the ability to turn towards you and make tawbah. And I beg you, out of your mercy, accept the tawbah and grant this girl another life that will be full of righteousness, that will be full of submission to you. Ya dhal jalal wal ikram. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi kulubina. وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم
شيخ. آمين آمين آمين.